This is a Pinball News production.
Thanks a lot. I'm Steve Ritchie. I'm a pinball designer. I'd like to thank personally all three of you for coming to this seminar. And actually, just wanted to say this. It's like, do you know how to make a pinball designer's car go faster? You take the pizza delivery sign off the roof. throw it away. I'm going to be talking about a number of the scientific aspects of making a pinball machine, but I can't help but, you know, tell some other stories also, because that's how it goes, okay? The first thing I'm going to talk about is developing a pinball from the standpoint of how the ball moves and what kind of limitations we have to live with and how we can, you know, maximize, you know, features, action. I think players look for action. I look for how the ball moves first thing. I don't care about the rules or the artwork. All that's an enhancement, no doubt, but I think the first thing that's important to me, maybe not to you guys, is how the ball moves. You know, cool things that happen to the ball, what goes on, what you have to do to make it go through these gyrations. So I'm going to switch to that mic. Everybody says, well, you know, you have this, all games are the same. Where's the variation? You have a limited number of really good shots coming off the flipper, because the flipper down here, I don't know if you can see the cursor, but at this end of the flipper, the shots are weak. And they're also like, they become, well, the necessity for greater precision on the part of the player is necessary. The angle, you know, you can be a little sloppy up here and you'll probably make the ramp. You got a little slop of the ball in that area and you're going to get up the ramp. There's no slop down the end. It's going to be dead on at the right angle. Coming on the flip has to be applied at the right moment. So consequently, shots down here are like, they're kind of weak. And I don't know if you ever thought about it, but a wide body pinball machine will give you an extra shot, but it'll also kind of, I don't know, there are special things you have to do to get around. You know, you don't want your shots to be at this very, very low angle. I mean, you have to have one here. I have to. I've got to put that one there. I'll take that last spot right above the slingshot. As you go up, they get better. In a wide body, it pushes it out over to here, and so entrances to lanes and everything generally have to move up the play field if you want to make a nice playing game. Some people don't want to do that. Some people like to come to work at 10, have a donut. You know, I like to draw. I like to make a good game. Anyway, this is 24. Let's see if I can. This is a working drawing for 24. And I could show you others, but this one has some very interesting aspects. It shows that I don't just do the play field. I get involved in, there's a lot of things. I have, you know, a play field designer or a game designer, a pinball designer is responsible for the plastics. You got to work with everybody and supervise everybody, but I have found that, with most of the great people that I have worked with, supervision isn't about it. It's more like an exchange of ideas and also, you know, steering a ship in the direction of success, right? Like any other project, if you want it to be good, everybody's got to work hard, do their best work. Some of the things that we get into is I guess I'm going to touch a little. We'll get back to ball velocity and angles in a bit, but this, like, this orange area here, all these things are like the safe house, and it's like there's a lot of different layers on the game, and this is like a little building. I don't know if you've seen it. There is a 24 here, I think. Anyway, the building, and working with a mechanical engineer, I have to work with him to find the right space that this can fit in and get all the requirements of the device to operate, because there's only so much wood and so much space to mount the solenoids on the bottom. This is a very compacted area. There's a lot of things going on. Sometimes you have to go up with stuff because there's no room down. So the targets on 24 are actually up, and on Elvis too. It touches on a need for a game designer to manage the real estate of the play field to the best of their ability. I also like to make sure when the ball is flying around the play field, that a player is rewarded with not just a shot where he, let me turn off some of this crap. You can't even see what's going on in here. Okay. Actually, it's worse. Thank you. What I'm going to do is I'm going to turn off the left flipper shots. That would be this. It didn't turn off, did it? Turn off. It hates me. Wow, it's asking questions. Oh, that's the current layer. That's why. That's AutoCAD for you. They want you to do everything right. Okay, so these yellow lines you see coming off of here and leading up to targets, they generally have a rebound line too. Right here, this line, I'm showing this shot, and I'm also projecting for my own information where that ball is going to go approximately. I sure don't want that target to be cocked over a little bit more to the left so the ball goes down the drain. So I find it interesting that I can make a shot to this target and put it on the slingshot right after that. That's fine. That's nice. It adds some action and... And here, a shot from here up to this target, the C target. You can see where that rebound comes up here and hits this target. And then I'll go ahead and see where it goes after that. And it comes over here and hits the rubber. It's not a great, tertiary landing for the ball, but it's decent. It doesn't hurt anything. And while I'm drawing it, I'm thinking, well, that might be a problem. It could roll off there and go down the drain. So I'll make a note to watch for it and to try all the shots and see how they go. I try not to make shots that just do dead things, but sometimes, it's like it, like here. I'm trying to fit in this Chloe drop target bank or stand-ups. I guess it is a drop target. Anyway, and no, it's stand-ups, of course. Gary would never let me put a drop target there. No way. Too expensive. So anyway, on the E target, you shoot here at the E target, and it does go to this post right here. And I thought, okay, that's not great. Maybe the spinner will spin, but... I'll make a note also to see what happens when that goes. However, I'm just showing you that in order to make a balanced game, to make other things, there are some compromises. There's no question. some of the other things ramps. Ramps are very interesting. When you work with a ramp and it's far away from the flipper, I used to think, okay... I just want to make it short and steep and get the work over with and go on with it. But it really is better to make the ramp longer to climb a long incline. You do save energy. And in reality, you probably don't, because there's no such thing as free energy. But there is, I guess, an advantage in how the ball, strikes the ramp, how it rolls up it, and how much resistance you get out of the plastic. And also, it's like once you get the ball spinning and it's rolling along the plastic, it's rolling forward also. Hard to say, but I just think that a longer transition up to the next level works out better with a little reserve of energy. And energy is everything. And you got to think about what's the game going to be like in 2 years, okay? What's it going to be like when the flippers are all dirty and weak and, you got all that black stuff in the coil sleeves and the flippers just don't work anymore? You try to, to leave a little margin of safety for that, but, generally, I've been pretty successful at it, but not every time. I remember some wars on Black Knight where wars are just political discussions between you and the president. It's kind of interesting. He says, we can't afford 50-volt flippers. Yeah, but that's what everybody else is doing, Mike, so what do you think? I mean, can't we just think about it? You've already, blown the whole bill of materials on this two-level game thing. We don't know how it's going to work out. So I think we better, to just live with the 35 volts. So we did, and Black Knight makes it up the ramp when it's new, but I really wished for 50-volt flippers. So I know a lot of you guys are pathetically dedicated to being completely authentic. So, I mean, if you're really going to be completely authentic, okay, put 50 volts on that Black Knight, okay? Because then the ball will go up the ramps much nicer. It'll play better. And the only thing I would say is maybe back off on the top right flipper coil, because the normal power flipper coil up there was taking out the jet pumper ring and, cap. It's hard. You ever notice that most of the thumper caps on a Black Knight on the single thumper kind of busted up? You can't win them all. Everybody makes mistakes, but it's the way it goes. Anyway, you might think about 50-volt flippers on that game. I'm kind of bored with this, actually. I don't want to talk about this anymore, so we're going to move on to something else. Scientific. Okay. What I do when I do this, most people work in 3D programs, and that's one thing I'm going to do. I'm determined to learn SolidWorks or some other 3D, program because they're outstandingly powerful. However, I'm kind of pissed about that because I'm going to have to, when you finish your SolidWorks drawing, there's no work for the mechanical engineer to do. I've already done it all for him. And the other problem is that it takes a lot longer than working in AutoCAD. I don't know anybody who has ever been able to do, a part in SolidWorks faster than in AutoCAD. And I saw you applauding. I'm not sure what that means. Are we fans of SolidWorks here?
That's what I do for a living.
Are you a user? Oh, you work for Autodesk?
No, I work for I do SolidWorks drawings for a living.
Okay. Once again, I'll pretend like I heard that. I'm wearing hearing aids. They're up to 11, but this room is kind of echoey. Anyway, it was great talking to you. Here we go. Okay, the ramps over here on the side. I like to do side views so I can see what kind of energy I'm going to need to get up there, how quickly in SolidWorks or a 3D program that would be developed while I'm going along. But like I said, I can draw 5 or 6 lines here and figure out what's going on in about 10 minutes. Okay, so I've got a good idea of how high up I can go, what I want to do with that ramp. And you know what? This ramp looks a little steep, but Stern flippers are pretty damn strong, so I don't worry about it, at least not for a year or so. And after that, you've already bought the game. Too late, buddy. Bye. Let me move to another drawing. This is my version of Avatar. And Avatar was a... I'm a James Cameron fan, and I always watch what he's doing. And after the Titanic thing, there was talk, and if you hear James Cameron's name in the talk, and then Peter Jackson's, Weta group, okay, of artists and brilliant software people, it's like something good is going to happen. Probably a lot of other people in this room had been looking forward to Avatar. There was plenty of talk and good rumors on the web, so... it's like almost 4 years ago is when I became interested in doing this game. And, I went up to talk to Gary Stern about doing the game. And, he gave his normal, warm reception and what, the Avatar? I haven't heard what? It's nothing. Yeah, okay. Actually, Gary, I think it's going to be something pretty cool. It came from the... And I doubt it, but I'll check, okay? All right. So we... He checks, and he won't take my word for it that we should get this license, but he does decide to give Roger Sharp a call. And of course, Roger Sharp's a smart guy. He knows what he's doing, especially in licensing, and he has his finger on the pulse of current projects, things that are underway, upcoming movies.com, etc. Anyway, so Roger said, oh yeah, it's going to be something. So Gary says, all right, should I get it? Yeah, you should probably get it. Okay. So he gets it after he checks with him, and we have the license, and so I begin working on this game. This game is it's pretty interesting. This is the version after Gary said you have to take out a lot of the stuff that's in the game, which is not going to hold that against them. It happens with every game I've ever made. You have to deal with the bill of materials and how it's everything. You have to have a global view of pinball. What can we get away with? How much can we get for the game? If it's really something special, maybe we can afford a little more if we can count on some additional sales numbers or whatever. It's just it's, you know, it's a matter of give and take. You got to play with them, and you have to, you know, be nice. And that's another thing, being nice. We're going to talk about being nice later. Anyway, Avatar is this game is, well, you see there's an empty hole right here where a ramp used to be. And, well, and then there's this thing, which was, you know, the amp suit. And this amp suit was suspended from the bottom, kind of, and it had a 45-degree angle plate so that when you sent a ball to it in its center position, it would go down in the hall. The ball would fall into a buck, a vertical up kicker. And then I could rotate the amp above that and shoot the ball back out towards the player or the flippers, not down the drain. Okay, I could shoot it by rotating the amp unit, and he could also throw the ball like back at you at some, you know, vulnerability, and you would have this battle going. Well, he did let me keep this cannon, which I have over here. It's kind of compact, this cannon here. Let me back out a little bit so you can see it better. This cannon swings out, and you can make shots, obviously, to the amp. This ramp was excellent. This ramp is excellent from the cannon. And this outside orbit shot was decent too. Yeah, and you got these three targets. So you got a lot of different good shots you could make with the cannon. I'm going to close this drawing now, and we're still going to talk about Avatar. Avatar was like a really interesting game. We were totally excited about it. And this is, that's not good. That's because of the I think maybe some bad vibes in the room. I hope you'll leave so we can get this drawing to come up. Oh, jeez. Okay, we're going to try this again. Let's see, what can I do? It worked. Unless it didn't. For some reason, this one's kind of touchy. This drawing, I don't know. I probably should clean it out. They have a function called purge, and you can take out all the little errors that occur. Okay, right here on the side of the play field, I have two side views, and they're virtually identical. One shows the cannon here. Okay, again, okay, with American parts, when you make a drawing for a part, it's this. Then you pick it up and put it that way for the side view. And you put the side view here. Same thing here. You go that way, okay, and this way. In Europe, they don't. They just knock them over, okay? So when you look at a four or three view drawing, they'll have the view just like that. Anyway, so this is the American standard, basically. So this is my play field. You look at it like this. This is a side view like that, okay? That's what this is right here. So I have a cannon that moves up and down, and in Avatar, and it had like a kind of like a skee ball thing going, you know, where there was a shot here you could put the ball in, or here, and you could, you know, make shots, get, you know, I could sequence lights or whatever, make the top one worth more, the middle one, make that one, or just leave them, you know, in some modes, just leave them as set values, and you launch it with the left flipper button. Okay, that was that side. And over here, I don't know if you'll notice, but I'm going to tell you, so for sure you'll notice. Anyway, it's right here, this right ramp. This ramp right here, which is omitted from the other Avatar drawing, feeds a three-ball accumulator, which I could release back to the right flipper or load the cannon with, which was really versatile. It'd be cool. But didn't get to do that. Other than that, the game is not much different. And of course, my version of Avatar, John Borg didn't copy anything. He did, you know, he did what he has to do. He's really a good guy, and I always I liked working with him. And like, you know, he's like, hey, he has a job and I don't. Okay. He cooperates with Gary because he gets to have that job, and that's okay. Myself, I don't, you know, I guess I would say that it's not worth it for me. I think it was one of the worst experiences of my life was working there. That's an honest statement. Wow, we can talk about a lot of other things. Let's look at some other drawings that I have here. That's the differences between the Avatar that was kind of stripped down and the version that was you know, actually, well, the one I was, you know, the one I ended up with, but didn't bother finishing. There was no point in doing that. This is interesting. Maybe not that interesting. This is a standard Stern insert set. I use these as templates. You know, that is the entire insert complement that we were allowed to use. These are, again, you know, scientific tools that we could use. Here's a tool that I really like. This is that tool right there. You can have a lot of fun on that thing. It's exciting. This is like a 400, in this case, but it's a very smooth four-stroke motor that puts the power to the ground and pulses, and let's move on to something else. this is actually an engineering drawing for a part, and this is side armor in this case, which I sell at steveritchiepinball.com. I'm selling a side armor for Spider-Man. But this is the drawing that I submit along with a web pattern, okay? And this drawing, you know, sort of, well, it's got this, you know, the title block and all kinds of data in here, when it was drawn and the part number. And that, every single revision I have to make, I have to keep in a, you know, up here there's like another little block. It can be extended. Every time we make a revision, just to make sure we're all talking about the same part, you know, it'd become Rev B, Rev C, etc. But it gives the, you know, the dimensions of every hole, of course, and it's actually like kind of abbreviated drawing. It's like it isn't long enough really to show the whole length, so they put these squiggly lines in there. We use these to, you know, denote that part of it is missing, but we give the correct dimensions between the holes. But if you take a ruler and measure, you're going to blow it really bad, okay? All right. Short arm, you know, short armor. It would be about that long. This is the pattern I also would supply. Oh, I guess not that one. How do you even read that? That's a backup drawing. This is the drawing that I would send out to a vendor. As far as the actual laser cutting pattern, and he would apply this to his CNC laser cutter, and it would go out and make all these cuts exactly as I've described them. It's pretty interesting, and we work back and forth. He says, you know, the guy that I'm working with at the metal shop says, wow, this area is pretty thin, but then you look at how thick the metal is, and it's like, it's strong enough, definitely. I like to mess with a lot of different things. Right now, I'm working on a virtual pinball game because I don't know what's going to happen with physical pinball, but I do know that a lot of people are selling games, iTunes. I think there's 120 pinball applications. You know, I like to make one from a real, you know, pinball designer. That'd be cool. And I'm working on putting that together. And in the meantime, I can work, you know, in this medium right here. So I'm designing a game for that medium, and I hope to make one that we can, produce for Xbox, for PlayStation 3, for the PC. That's a decent market too for pinballs, and of course, mobile phones. Anyway, I'm not going to show you that though.
Can I ask a question about that?
You have a question.
Yes, can you hear me okay? I'm way in the back.
Didn't we know where Gary Flower went?
Here.
Okay, great. Can we, okay. I need somebody without an English accent that can interpret what that guy just said to me. How about you? Him yelling out is not going to do any good.
Okay. He's going to ask the question. Go ahead. What's your question?
Oh, he's coming. So when you think about doing a computer game, do you think about sort of changing the dimensions of the board?
Do I think about changing the what?
Dimensions of the board?
No.
You've got an infinite palette. You could...
No. I mean, weren't you sitting in during the Flipper lecture? Bigger boards don't make better games, necessarily.
But you could put flippers anywhere.
You could. You could put mushrooms in the play field.
But I'm just asking you, have you thought about...
No, I don't mean to make fun of you. You're right. I have thought about it. I'm thinking, you know, maybe a little longer, but... For right now, it's like I want to make everybody happy. Here, this is another group, okay, of people that are into virtual pinball machines. Oh my God, they're like, They're focused on every single thing. Like I logged on to slamit.com. I look at their pinball machine, and they've got like, you know, it's called Big Score. It's interesting. It's not a bad game. It's a pretty layout, nice artwork, nice lighting. Okay, and maybe the best physics model I've ever seen for a virtual game. Flipping, passing, drop catches, all possible. Slap saves, okay? It is the best model, no question. It isn't operating right. And the guys, we have a bit of a language problem. He's Croatian, and their whole group is, I think, from Croatia. And so I don't know if we're going to do anything. I doubt it, because he has a strange model. But this game was built by these fanatics, okay? And whatever they had in Croatia to play, it didn't work right. Because they had a vault, okay, up in the upper right-hand side, and every time the ball would kick out, you know, it would make a noise, a big noise, but you weren't sure if it was going to come from there. A bank vault would open up, and the ball would come out. One out of three was sent between the flippers, you know, because that's what our game does that we have in the pub over here, okay? That's what pinball does. So they did cheats people, okay? I think that's it. I don't know. And then you got, you know, the dot matrix display up here, and then there's the reflection of the dot matrix display on the play field. It's ugly, blocking the shots. What's that about? You don't need to duplicate everything. You know, designers want things to work right every time. The only reason they don't work is because they break or they wear out. They get dirty. Well, that's a big problem, isn't it? Anyway, and they'll stop working correctly. So, anyway, it's unfortunate that that's their experience. But I don't understand this. You know, with virtual pinball, you have a chance to make everything work correctly, yet be random. And as long as things work correctly and you use a real physics model, you know, when you point things in the proper direction, you have the right velocities happening, it should work fine. So I'm interested in that. I know that's sort of like heresy. I like physical pinballs also, but there's just nobody else I can work for to make them. I'd love it, but I don't know who's going to build them. I don't even know how much longer Stern is. Anyway, there's other things I'd like to talk about here. One of them is being nice. Remember we talked about that? Oh, he's such a nice guy. I talked to him for an hour. He'll talk about pinball forever. Well, I'm not. Not a nice guy. Not at all, okay? Every time you play Black Knight, when you drain, okay? Just think about that. You're draining all over the world on my games. I'm thinking. Okay. You know, you're playing Spider-Man and everything. Hey, dude. Did you get that top feature yet? Did you? I don't think so. It's going to take a year, just like Valinor. Keith and I are making sure that you're never going to get it. Never! I'm not really nice. And I want to tell you how much, you know, good energy I get from that. Definitely. It's good to have something out there, right? Something like superhero. You got to have that out there. Well, you're not getting it. Okay. Other things that I'd like, that was not scientific. Well, it's going to be on my case. All right, we look at this one again? No. No. Let's talk about Spider-Man for a second. Fun game to make. Great. Oh, there it is again. It does that. Okay, you gotta wait. No bad vibe. Ready? No, back to here. I wonder why it does this. I don't think it likes this resolution, Martin. But, I mean, it was working on other ones. Let's see. Maybe if I click it here. No? Over here? Okay. Maybe I can... Now, I had help with somebody working on Star Trek. This is my son. He did help me out with Star Trek Next Generation, and what's that third word? Demented. He's not. He's a great kid. He's a smart kid. He became a a design engineer at Caterpillar and lives in Peoria and is doing very well. It wouldn't surprise me if he's like a vice president of engineering over there. Eventually. Let's see. Spider-Man, where are you? Won't have it. All right, we'll have to treat this a different way. Let's see what we've got here. Let's look in Minnie's prints and drawings. Maybe here, maybe. Yeah. Well, I did see one. Maybe this one will open. I'm not sure why that other one won't. This is probably an ancient one. This one will open. My drawings get kind of big because I like to use one with everything on them. Plastics, all the components that I could possibly fit and use. Here you got some production sheets, okay? This is like the, you know, these are pieces of the web slingers or other ball hang-up pieces of plastic. So I lay them out, in a pattern that best utilizes a sheet of plastic. That's an important thing that we have to do. Interesting. Here's two very, very ugly side armor attempts that I did at the beginning, just messing around. But I knew that I wanted to do some kind of, web side armor for Spider-Man. I really hate that shape. It looks like a lollipop on a stick, when you get it up there. Ugly. This is like the stickers that you put on the back panel, and you nest them. So you really can't get any more than three stickers or sets of stickers on a sheet for this. It's just almost impossible because you have these lower arch pieces and these things, and always the back panel. And I'm pretty sure that it doesn't say you snooze, you loose. No, it doesn't. Does everybody know what that's about? Well, it says you snooze, you lose. And lose, the word lose has one O in it. I don't know if you know that. But snooze, I guess, ooze, I'm sorry. You ooze, you lose. Okay, ooze has two O's. So I think that kind of might have confused Kevin O'Connor. So he ended up, printing you ooze, you lose. Okay? And it's on all the Spider-Men because Gary said, I'm not going to change it for that. Okay. All right, but we look ignorant. Is that okay? Yeah, that's okay. That's another story. That brings to mind yet another story, and that is that once we were working on Spider-Man and there was time ran out for the software. We had to throw the game on the line because management demanded it, and the software was nowhere near finished. And our players and people said, we love the game, but what's going on, guys? And it's Lyman and I were told never to speak a word about it. So we're sitting there taking it. We're thinking, okay, we're dopes. We didn't finish this game. Maybe we can get permission to, finish the game on our own time. No. That was the answer we got. You just go on to the next game. Forget if you got time at night. You work on this game, not Spider-Man. So we had this this war going on. If I was to mention unfinished code at any point in the factory, the red face would come pounding on the table, all kinds of stuff. You wouldn't believe it. Guess you had to be there. But you didn't want to be, really. And anyway, at one point, I went into Gary's office. I go, okay, I know your stance on unfinished code here, but I got to tell you, there's like about probably 5,000 pieces of bad public relations about unfinished code on Spider-Man and on the bulletin boards, on rec.games.pinball. People are talking, no doubt about it. And they know it's not Lyman and I, not because we told them, but, something's up. We're dedicated people, and they know it, and they did. So I said, there's 5,000 pieces of bad publicity. What can we do about it? And he says, how do we erase them? Okay, that's how do we erase them? Well, you can't, you kind of have to, we have to finish the code. So he finally agreed. It took him a year before he understood how much damage that did to the company. I think it did a lot. Anyway, moving on. We did the you ooze, you lose thing, which was remarkable. See, I think that we all must know that that would never happen at Williams. Never. They would have said, first of all, somebody would have been proofreading and would have said, well, I don't think we should print that because the word isn't spelled correctly. This is another thing that we do. Every company has a standard parts layout. And this is like when I started Whitewood at Stern. These are the parts that I work with. This is the play field. The brackets in their exact position. Now, I'm allowed to rotate those wherever I have to. These brackets here can be rotated, you know, anywhere I would like. I can, you know, have a standard flipper position, but these are the symbols that we use for a flipper device. And, you know, when I just pick up this whole unit and move it onto my drawing and then rotate it into position where I would like it to reside. And they have specific, you know, drawings for, what's this? This is a inline three-bank. That was relatively new at Stern at the time. Jet bumper. Is everybody falling asleep yet? That's what I thought. This is a feature that kind of, well, it's not taking it, though, is it? I think this drawing is locked up. Anyway, at this time, I would like to take some questions, if you wouldn't mind. Yes, sir. You're going to have to interpret for me if you don't mind.
Has anyone ever made a variable flipper? Like on a keyboard, a musical keyboard, they've got velocity keys. Is there a velocity flipper? Or is it always just on or off?
Okay, here's my philosophy about that. I'm going to remove this mic. My philosophy about that is it's an interesting idea, no doubt. It's like metal cabinets, which we'll get into in a second. Okay, why it's interesting to me, I would never want to do that because the one connection you have with the player is the flippers. He could rely on that. How they're going to act. In general, you walk up to a Gottlieb wedge head, you know what the stroke is going to be. You don't think about it, but you know it. It's always going to be there. You walk up to a Williams game or a Stern game, they have, you know, pretty much repeatable flipper stroke, how the ball moves. So that's the one thing I don't want to change or take away from the player. I won't do scissor flippers. I won't do one up here and one to Gary Slater, Middle Earth, okay? One like that. It was cool, you know, but I'm not going to do that on a regular basis because I like to change everything else. And so I wouldn't be interested in doing that. But it doesn't mean that you're a jerk, okay? I'm just kidding. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of ideas. Metal cabinets is another one. I just talked to this guy who said, I think we could save a lot of money if we manufacture machines out of metal cabinets, you know, metal, steel, whatever. Well, you know, companies tried almost everything you can think of. Metal cabinets were a disaster. They get dented. What do you do with them then? Take them to the body shop. I'm serious. That's what people did. And it was like, anytime a wire came off the play field, oh, it could fall over and touch the side of the cabinet. Everybody's getting, you know, it's another chance to burn down an arcade. So we don't do that. And then these are some of the things that, you know, that people on the street can't know. And there's no book either. It's like Steve Kordak and Frank Murphy and Norm Clark told me about these things. Harry Williams, okay? There's no book, there's no manual, there's just your memory and their memories. Yeah, we tried that. It was funny. We'd see a guy coming into engineering and he'd be all, you know, bright-eyed and bushy-tailed and very smart, good, you know. First thing he would do, you know, well, this one guy did, was he goes to the flipper, I'm sorry, the jet bumper ring shaft, okay? And he goes, you know, he does a complete drawing, three views, and shows how he could save 40 cents a unit by reducing the thickness of the metal. And it's like, can't do that. It's like, they did make them by accident, made a few. And they came out, and we got the parts, and they got mixed in with prototype parts. And pretty soon, all these ring shafts started breaking all around the factory. Then they had a big, you know, a huge like a inquisition. How they even get here? What are they doing there? Anyway, things like that can't be slipped in. You have to have all the knowledge before you can create anything new. You don't have to have it all, but you got to have a lot. You know, it's a weird little business. It's just not defined. There is no, there's no manual. That's it. And there's really no history books either. There's no textbooks about, how to do it. Got any other questions? Go ahead.
When you're designing a game and you get to the play field, do you get to pick the artwork that goes onto it, or is that somebody else's job?
It's not. The game designer gets to, but it's not always the guy that draws the play field. But in my case, I generally lead the team, but it's not really leading if you're working with great people. It is. You stay on the vision. It's like, I don't tell Greg Ferris on Star Trek The Next Generation where to put everything at all. I go, let's talk about some sketches and let's see. He's going to do a great job. And he also has the passion because he's watching the shows, checking it out. He knows all the conversations. He knows all the players. He knows how Q acts. He knows everything just because we study. Same with Lyman and I on Spider-Man. Watch the movies. Look at everything. And then get told to take out Doc Ock.
Yeah.
By a genius. Okay, anyway. No, so I don't do that. But sometimes I will say, like the Connie Mitchell, man, he messed up Flash so bad it isn't funny. So when I got stuck with him for Firepower, he drew his same nasty... I want to say, what is it? I don't know. It's like perspectives. That's it. There isn't any. Not even a little bit. So it's like he did that nice globe, and then like kind of metallic stuff and Firepower and a mirrored glass. And then he did it on the playfield. Well, the next day I came in and he changed the whole pattern and ruined it. And I go, put that back. You have to put back what you had there. In that case, yeah. So some people need art direction. Some don't. I get involved in the music, and like on Black Knight, that's 2000. I wrote the chords for the main tune. Na, 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 na. Okay, it was nothing until Brian Schmidt went on his bass, okay? It was nothing until then. So, you let the magic flow. Whoever wants to put in some stuff that's good, that's fine. If you got bad stuff, I reserve the right to take it out. That's about it. that is how it went and how it's going to go in the future. Any other questions? Yes, sir.
So it sounds like, since it's a business, you design 100 bits in a game, and the people with the money say, we're only going to put in 50 of them. Of all the games you've designed, do you have a sense of which one got the most stuff that you wanted to stay in the game?
It's funny that you have that... a view like that, and it would be, that's interesting. I never thought about it that way. At Williams, after Flash, they said, they pretty much let me do what I want to do. And it became a tradition at Williams. Pat Lawler got to do what he wanted to do, okay? George Gomez got to do what he wanted to do most of the time. And some of the newer guys, they're not new anymore, but, they were, had a hard time in the beginning, but they finally realized that all of us at Williams wanted to be the best. We wanted to be the greatest pinball company that ever existed. And if people came in, they had to understand that. And that went for us too, okay? If I'm working on No Fear, okay, and I had a piece on there, I don't even remember what it was, but the shot sucked, okay? It was just horrible. And Pat Lawler came in, and he said, the shot sucks. I want to say, get out. That's what people do. People resist that. They don't want somebody to tell them that, their baby is ugly. So, it takes maybe a couple days to hear it. But I'm telling you, Pat Lawler says you got something wrong with your game, you probably have something wrong with your game. Right?
Right.
Larry DeMar says that. If he says, I don't know, this could be better. There's something missing. There probably is.
5 minutes.
What's that?
5 minutes.
Okay, 5 minutes. All right, so, I guess that's about the size of it. I got to do whatever I wanted to do within reason, and I was a reasonable person. Some people weren't reasonable. I don't want to speak ill of the dead, and I like Steve Kirk. I got along with him great, but he was his worst enemy. He actually came to look for work at Williams, and one of his first demands was, I need a case of Coke outside the door of my office every day. I'm not going to do that, okay? Nobody, including the president, is allowed to come in and look at the game. Get out of here. You just move yourself closer to the door. You know, no unreasonableness. You got to play the game and be a human being.
I have a question. You used the word random when you were talking about virtual pinball design. Is it possible to have any kind of random?
Oh, no, I never said that. I would never say that.
Somehow I
said it was possible to control the shot so it would come to the flipper within a range every time and yet remain random. Yes.
But that's a natural pinball.
I'm sorry?
That's a physical pinball, right?
Yeah. You know, you can make a virtual device point at a flipper, and you can give it. You can say that the trajectory of the the output of this thing will vary. 2% to the to the left and 2% to the right, something like that. And you're going to choose it at random. If you go 8% to the right, it throws it down the middle. So you don't allow 8%, because you wouldn't do that with a mechanical device either, right? Unless it got broken, we couldn't kick out far enough to make it. And dribbles down the middle. That's that story. I don't know how much time I have left now, but I'm really cognizant. I'm really cognizant of this pressure, gentlemen. Okay. Just kidding. All right.
I was wondering about, as I understand it, there are companies that make the, separate companies make the toys, the little, special things on the play field. I was wondering if you could talk about whether you do all the design of that or whether the company that makes it participates. And also if there's any toy that you came up with that hasn't been built that you would love to have someone make.
Okay, generally I specify the toys, but I don't always think of them alone. Like on Spider-Man, Lyman and I got together about almost everything we wanted to do in the game. I would butt in on the rules. I would butt in on, some toys that I wanted to make. He would say, it would be cool if this did that. It's generally the toy ideas come from the game designer or the team, not from mechanical engineers. Occasionally, though, the guys at Williams, I don't know how much time I have, but I'm trying to think of who. Chuck Blake and the vice president of engineering were fooling around with a piece of plastic tubing. It was 1 1/4 inch, or 1 1/8 inch in diameter, and they just wrapped 3 coils of wire on it and were applying, power to them kind of randomly. And, pretty soon we had this thing that shot a ball like 200 feet and put a dent in the drywall. And I thought, that would be good. That would be good to have for high speed tube for the getaway, So we refined it. I turned it into square coils and putting it inside a stainless steel trough and that sort of thing. So that idea did not come from the game designer. How to use it, yes. What it was is it. I think, I got 2 minutes left now. I just want to, sure.
Have you ever played the Williams Collection for Nintendo Wii?
Have you played the Williams Collection for Nintendo Wii?
You know what, I never have, and I probably ought to. The thing is, though, that, it's, what is it? I don't like to be influenced. I didn't go play Pat Waller's game when I was working on this because I didn't want to get influenced by them. I never wanted to say, somebody to say, oh, you copied that. But it got kind of stupid. You can't do that anymore. Besides, that would be insecure of me because I would assume that I would not be able to come up with anything new, and I'm never going to feel that way. Anyway, that's interesting. Yes, sir.
You said that when you were talking about the shortcuts that people were doing in manufacturing stuff like that, that part of that came out of there not being a manual on how to do things because it was kind of passed down from here to there. Have you ever thought about writing one?
Have you thought about writing a manual on pinball? Because he's talking about shortcuts we're taking and how a lot of pinball design is oral tradition. It's passed down. Have you thought about...
That's interesting. I don't know who the manual would be for. Why don't I just give them my life and accept no pay for that time? Oh, what the hell? Hey, I got time to burn, right? But I do have to deliver those pizzas. Anyway, I enjoyed talking to you guys very much today. Thanks for having me. Great to be here.